Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 288. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Mike Kaplan, real estate agent to the stars.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me on tour doing stand-up comedy all throughout the United States of America and into Australia in January and February of 2022. I'll be at the Sydney Comedy Store. And go to Instagram, get an Instagram, find me at Turner Sparks. I'm putting out new videos every single week. You can find Kaplan at Kaplan America on all social media platforms. Or if you want to buy a house in the New York City area, go to Kaplan NYC because he's now a real estate agent to the stars, as he said. Kaplan,
yeah.
On today's show, no guest. It's just you and me. It's Thanksgiving. We're going to do a Thanksgiving-themed episode for our audience and give them a taste of how our Patreon show Live from the Bunker feels for all those listeners out there. And maybe encourage you to go to patreon.com/lostinamerica and sign up for this show. So this is going to be the style of show you would get. $5 a month. That's all it takes to get you this episode. That's cheaper than coffee. I bought coffee in New York City the other day. It was $6.16.
That's ridiculous. You should go to happy hour and just get $5 beers somewhere at a dive bar. But yeah,
I don't drink beers, but I should. I should get them and pour them out. It'd be better than this dumb coffee. So anyway, $5 a month gets you that. Just go over there. And if you like us, if you love what we're doing, Cap and I are creating a television show right now. We got to pay for that. We got all this bandwidth we got to pay for over here. Throw us more than five. You could throw in 10, 20. I think Dennis Owens is currently at, what's he at, $40 a month?
And that, thank you, Dennis Owens. What a hero. And
what that's a hero, Dennis Owens. Gary Sparks is up there. He's at 40. We got Sugar Brady tipping the scales.
Tug.
10 or 15. Tug's up there. Drew Fralick. The whole gang. I mean, all kinds of people. And they just like what we do. They like to support us. They throw in more money. So feel free to do that. But it all happens at patreon.com/lostinamerica. All right, Kaplan.
And wait, and I just want to say, because it's this Thanksgiving episode, and Ruby Kaplan, my daughter, had to make a project for school, What You're Thankful For. And yes. She wrote that she made a big bubble, and she said, you expect to say I'm thankful for my family. She wrote, I'm thankful for my friends. And then the next bubble she wrote, I'm thankful for myself. That's what she's thankful for herself. If I were making the bubble, I would say I'm thankful for our Patreons because you guys literally are our number. And I'm thankful for all of our listeners, but I'm more thankful for the Patreons. So join the crew, patreon.com/lostinamerica.
Yeah, maybe we'll be thankful for you next year.
Exactly.
Kaplan, let's start at Thanksgiving. You said you have a New York Times article. It has recommendations for how to be the best Thanksgiving guest. Now, this Thanksgiving, my wife has gone to China. We can talk more about that later. But I'm going to the Conway. I'm going to have Thanksgiving with the Conways. And Eileen Conway, her family's the Valones side of the family. I'm going to have a Filipino Thanksgiving with them. I'm very excited. But go through this list and let me know how we can be the best Thanksgiving guests.
Yeah, because this list is very important because it basically starts out by shaming people and says that if you bring them flowers, that's like the worst thing you can do because then they have to like get a vase, they have to care for it. It's causing them more work.
So your goal is telling you what not to do? Set this up for the audience here.
It's telling you how to be a good guest. So it's saying it starts off by shaming you. It says don't bring flowers because everyone brings flowers and it creates work for the host. They got to get a vase. They're going to die in a few days.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah.
My wife, Sparks, hates flowers.
Oh,
so this absolutely hates them. Hates getting them when it was when she was sick last year. She got a bunch of, she demanded, no one, please do not give, whatever you do, do not send flowers. And my mom said to her, she goes, listen, my friends are boomers. This is what we do. We don't know what else to do. So I hear you. I see you. I acknowledge you, but also deal with it. You're going to be getting flowers from like 90% of my friends. But she didn't want them. She said the exact same reason that the New York Times says. So maybe they're onto something. She says that flowers bring bugs and dirt and grime and it's gross.
Exactly. And then that take makes sense. I understand that. Their second take, which is don't bring a bottle of wine, I find a little ridiculous because they say then they have to find an ice bucket.
White trash? We're going to bring white wine?
Yeah, exactly. What if I bring a bottle of
ice
red? There's no stipulation for if we bring red or just like a bottle of hard liquor or something. Everyone loves that. But
this tells me who they're writing these articles for, right? This is for the mimosa breakfast brunch lady crowd, is it not? Because so they're just assuming you're going to bring white wine.
Yeah, they said Riesling in the article. They mentioned how people have so much Riesling already, and you got to get an ice bucket. You can't drink it dry, and it's causing the host to have to do something to find a Tetris. It says they have to play Tetris in their liquor cabinet if they have too many bottles of wine. So you're inconveniencing them.
What is Riesling? Is that a word?
That's a white wine. You never had a Riesling?
I've never had a white wine.
You've never had a white wine in your whole life?
No, I have class. I was raised correctly. Reds only, please.
I mean, I know you're from California. They have Chardonnays up there. Riesling is it's like a sweeter. I'm not a big Riesling fan, but I think it's like a sweeter white wine.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of it. Well, it's a real thing. I promise you that. So don't bring it.
I know more people that smoke cigarettes indoors in California than drink white wine. Just going to say that.
Really?
No one drinks white wine.
Yeah, I guess that's why in that movie Sideways, it was all red, right? They didn't. That's
was it?
California.
I assume it probably was, but I literally knew no one drink white wine. I would kick you out of my house.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Jesus. All right. So we're out for a meal next summer because I like to do the white wine thing sometimes when it's hot out and I'm sitting outside. I'm ordering a nice piece of fish.
Pathetic. It's pathetic.
You're basically calling me gay, is what you're saying.
I don't know gay. I mean, I don't have a problem with gays. You do, but I think it's more of a class thing. Low end.
They have expensive whites, but
it's a bit trailer parkish.
How do you feel about rosé before we move on? What's your take on that?
Should we end the podcast now? Rosé. Rosé is trailer parkish, but in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's like make up your mind, red or white, you know? That's like the mixing. It's indecisive.
Anyway, but they just say don't bring wine at all. And because I guess the New York Times is now the New York Post, they just assume you're going to be drinking white. Continue. Yeah,
exactly. So the first thing they say is this is how you become a holiday hero. It says, upon arrival, hang up your coat, don an apron you brought for home. Or better yet, wear the apron under your coat so you can reveal it Clark Kent style. Stride in the kitchen and say, I'm here to help.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold the phone. Let's back up the truck for a second, Kaplan. My Yaya cooks all the time. Cooking with Yaya.com is literally her website. Mm-hmm. It's what she does for a living. her number one pet peeve, besides the people bringing over flowers, is people trying to elbow their way into her kitchen in the middle of an event. She does not want anyone anywhere near her kitchen. People say if someone wore an apron and said, "I'm here to help,"
it'd be offensive, right? She'd be like,
she would take, she would take the flower vase and smash it over their head. That's insane advice.
Yeah. It's one thing if you bring something like, "Oh, I can bring the sweet potatoes and the marshmallows or whatever, like my dish, the green bean casserole," whatever.
And not only
you say ahead of time, "I'm bringing that," so you don't make it.
Clear it ahead of time. What dish you're bringing.
Yeah, that's one thing to do. I'm the type of person when I go to homes, whether it's Thanksgiving or dinner parties or anything, I don't even do the, I don't like to be fake. So I don't even fake. I don't even do the "I'm here to help." I would never do that.
No.
I would just grab a drink, grab some chips, stick my feet up, get comfortable.
I usually start with "which way is the can?" And then I go take a 30-minute dump.
I go take a dump. And I send a message.
On my way in, I grab a newspaper. When everyone can see. So, hey, guys, I'm reading the full section. You know, all of the Metro. I'm going to go front to cover to cover on this Metro section. And yeah, I send a message.
That's like when a dog is like a dominant creature. You walk in, when a dog just starts humping another dog they meet, just say, you walk into someone's home, you say, "I'm here to dominate. I'm going to go take a
crap." Let them know who's boss.
I'm just going to go. Like, I always feel like you got to wait a certain amount of time before doing that. You got to get your.
That's right. That's number one. That's like first day of prison. You kick someone's ass. right when you walk into a Thanksgiving home, you take a dump. I can guarantee you, we're laughing, but I can guarantee you my wife would rather have our house guests do that than take a dump in her kitchen is what they would be doing with a, tuxedo vest on or whatever, the apron.
So that's all right. Yeah, because I guess you walk in, I would always like find a, maybe if I could find like a basement, then I take a dump, but I've never been to walk in.
No. I go right in the family room. You know that one that's... It's right off the, when you walk in, right off the entrance, the front entrance to the house.
Wafts.
So every time a new guest comes and they open the door, it pushes it more. It's like Royal Rumble. It's like, wow, who's coming next? We don't know. But the fart smells keeps coming.
It's like, again, like the dog. It's marking your territory. The smell, the scent. Yeah. That's how they do it.
So it's the gift that keeps on offending throughout the evening.
Well, that's a good.
No,
they didn't mention that. That's not what. So they do say you could. An alternative to this is instead of actually cooking is to buy the guest an apron, which I think would be, or buy the host an apron.
What? Which
they say Williams-Sonoma has a great classic.
What is this obsession with aprons?
I don't know. Is Matt, like, does your wife wear an apron when she cooks?
She does if it's like a big event, like if it would be like a Thanksgiving and she's cooking 100 things. When we cook around the house, we don't wear an apron. But I guess you know what she does when she cooks dinner, because a lot of times Chinese food, it splashes all over the place. But you're frying and stuff. But with American food, I mean, you put a turkey in the oven and you leave for an hour. What apron? Why do you need an apron?
Stuffing? I don't know.
It's in an oven.
That's part of the problem with Thanksgiving. All the food is like sauceless. It's like dry turkey. There's gravy, but that's not splattering anyway. You're not sauteing anything.
Turkey's the worst food on human earth. Everyone knows it. It's the only time we eat turkey. Do we ever eat turkey on other just random
days?
Well,
I eat turkey sandwiches. Like
you do?
Lawyer to the pie blue shirt eats one every single day. I don't do that, but I have at least
turkey
one a week.
Sandwich. God damn.
But I like a cold turkey. Well, that's the thing, cold turkey.
No, this is what happens. You guys aren't allowed ham. That's why. Mm,
yeah.
The rest of the world.
But we prefer pastrami. We prefer salami, roast beef. Every meat's better than turkey. I agree with you there. We just eat it because it seems healthier. It's the other white meat for us.
Sure. Anyway, so continue. Yeah.
All right. So
this is an abomination.
Number two, and this one.
We're only at number two?
There's three of them. All right. This is number two.
Okay.
Number two is you use your own take-home containers for leftovers. So in other words, you bring you're like a homeless person now.
What?
Because there's nothing worse. Essentially, you're really putting them out if there's going to be so much food that they're going to insist you take leftovers, and then they give you their Tupperware. So you decided among your, you decide that you're going to be offered leftovers now. You're basically very presumptuous. You're coming in I once went to a Syrian Jewish wedding, and I learned real quick the difference between like the Sephardic Jews and the my people is that literally people that showed up at that wedding with all the, they all showed up with Ziploc bags. Like, they were just like, it's like a normal thing to just like take leftovers home, apparently, from a wedding.
Oh my gosh.
Which I thought was the most outrageous thing I'd ever seen. Like, everyone was doing it.
Now I understand why they assume you're drinking white wine.
Exactly.
This is trash. So,
but can you imagine showing up at someone's house with like, you're like, can I get your coat? You're like there and like, oh, where can I put my Tupperware for later?
Yeah, I stopped at Lock and Lock on the way here and got the heavy duty kind, the jumbo containers. That's insane. So they're saying this is good manners. So don't bring wine, but do bring Tupperware containers.
Yeah, it's, they say that because now the host doesn't have to track you down later. Because they're, again, assuming the host is giving all of their guests leftovers to take with them. Because, again, Thanksgiving food, you just hit the nail on the head. Turkey is not, you eat it one day a year. Even the other stuff, stuffing, cranberry sauce, that's sweet potatoes, marshmallows, all that stuff is delicious on Thanksgiving because it's like nostalgic, right? It's like part of the, but you won't eat that stuff like 2 days later. Who's eating that?
I mean,
like,
who are we kidding? It's not even good on Thanksgiving. You just eat it because that's what they're serving.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're getting one free meal at someone's house. You don't need to like get greedy about it and take leftovers.
Bring Tupperware. It's chaos.
This is chaos. And it says the host will be very pleased with your proactive approach. And so then they might even offer you an extra glass of wine. So apparently it's like no good deed goes
unpunished. I thought there was no wine.
Well, they have wine there. You're assuming they have wine.
Oh, you're assuming they have too much wine. Yeah.
And here's the third one. And I wish if I gave you 100 guesses of like what the third thing you should bring as a gift when you're going to someone's home for Thanksgiving, you would never guess it.
Okay, so let me guess based off of the answers they've already given us.
Okay. Yeah.
See, so based off the theme of this, I'm going to say they'll tell you it's very polite to bring your own toilet paper.
Actually, you're not that far off here. But that's not it.
Napkins, paper plates, plastic silverware.
No.
All right. What do they give?
A handy stain remover. They say because when the gravy boat gets passed around a little too enthusiastically, your fellow guests will appreciate a quick refresh from a tie-to-go pen, or
gravy
as we've
boat.
Recommended, a laundry pre-treat, some OxyClean spray. So you're supposed to show up with stain stick, basically.
What is wrong? All right. Do we think that maybe this is like all product placement? This whole article has been paid for by the Apron Society of America.
Big apron,
big tie. Like Tide has chipped in.
Is there a one company, you know, like companies own lots of different things, like, you know, Kraft macaroni and cheese also owns like Philip Morris cigarettes and all that stuff. Like, is there one company that owns like Clorox? They probably sell everything, right? They probably they probably sell stain remover and take home containers and aprons, I'm sure.
And probably what happened was initially they had a white wine company roped into this article.
Yeah.
And then at the last second, the white wine company pulled out. So they were about to say, do bring white wine. Then they just said, don't bring white wine.
They had a sponsor drop out. So when we lose a guest, we're like, we got to find someone quick. Who do we got?
Right, screw you. No white wine. You dropped out. It's like us when we have a Patreon subscriber leave, we name and shame.
So they turned on it. They're basically telling you dope. Yeah, they're trying to negatively affect a sales of Riesling right now. They're going after. So I have a solution, though. And by the way, I will say I'm Kaplan. I get stains on my shirts all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, of all these items, like if I were hosting a party and you showed up with a stain stick, I would probably be that'd probably be the one I appreciate the most because I could. I've always
but
made
are
a note
assuming,
that
assuming again, it's offensive to the home. Like, are you assuming these people just don't have that in their own home? Most people have that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but one of those New Year's resolutions once was to carry one of those tied to go pens in like my backpack, so I'd always be ready, and I never remembered that. So if somebody brought one,
my New Year's resolution
right
in high school, which I stuck to, was carry a swimsuit at all times in my backpack.
That's a great one, so always be ready.
It's great. It worked. I did it for 4 years. You never know when you're going to stumble upon a swimming pool. You got to jump in.
You never know.
River just or creek.
Well, you got to escape in the East River, and you don't want to ruin your pants.
Yeah.
So I mean, I do have another solution because I'm noticing a theme here. Maybe we should just institute a shirtless Thanksgiving because like,
now
I didn't
talking.
Know because, you know, I'm, you know, not to get everyone all excited, but when I cook in the house and it's going to be very saucy, I just take the shirt off because that way if I'm splatting tomato sauce everywhere, I don't have to worry about ruining a shirt, you know?
Yes.
So I don't need an apron. I didn't even know that's, I didn't realize till today that's why people wore aprons. I thought it was just a fashion thing. So no apron. If a woman's shirtless, there can't have you can't have stains. You don't have to worry about it. And then, then you don't really, I mean, maybe you need the wine now. I don't know, but.
Well, and it's a fun, because a shirtless Thanksgiving, I think you've hit upon something here. It's not like ever, you know, first thought's always, ooh, sexy, ooh. But really, like, immediate second thought is this is more like a nude beach in Europe. Just a bunch of fat people.
A bunch of fat people eating turkey and stuffing. This is not a sexy shirtless situation.
Like a North Florida nude beach.
Yeah,
one of those like resort escape things, you know?
I mean,
and
the nude
beach. It's more like a judgment-free zone.
It's very judgment-free because the type of people who bring their own Tupperware to a dinner party are not the type of people you really want to see topless. But
no.
so that's that. But those are your tips. So those are the big three.
Can I, sticking on the family theme here, and someone I believe you might be seeing in the next couple days, I'm not sure, but I want you to pass along a message to a one Joe Kessel, your father-in-law.
Oh, yes. It was just his birthday yesterday, so happy birthday. That's the message you're passing
along. Well, happy birthday to Joe from me, and happy birthday to Joe from the guys who hacked his Facebook page and have been sending me messages over the past week.
What gave it away?
So first of all, I didn't know, you know, Joe Kessel's one of those guys. It's my friend's father-in-law. I guess I probably met him at your wedding 15 years ago.
You would have met him at the wedding. And that's
would he
probably,
have come to a comedy show somewhere along the way?
No, they live in, he hasn't been in New York in years. So
that's what I thought. Okay. So
and you don't play Boca very often. So
I don't go to Boca enough. I wish I did. So the extent of my relationship with him is we met at a wedding 15 years ago. Okay. And then on Monday of this week, I get a message from him on Facebook that says, "Hi, how are you doing? And how is everything going on with you?" Now, first of all, that's not correct English.
Right.
It's not grammatically correct, which is your first tip off that this might not be the person. Second of all, I don't even know if I've ever spoken to this guy in my life. He seems like a great person. I assume I probably said congratulations, and that might be it on the day
that
of the wedding.
That was quite a correspondence he had. Yeah.
His daughter's wedding
listen,
15 years ago.
He did
ago.
Listen to the pod in the early days, I know, so maybe he might have written in or something. I think he wrote in at one point. But
maybe
that's
he wrote
it.
In, and then I didn't respond, and so then 24 hours later, he follows up with, "Hi, Turner." And I says, "Okay, I'm going to look into this thing." So I look over, and my, you know, a big tip off, it's a picture of him. He has no Facebook friends, by the way. It's a brand new account. He's nine friends now. Nine friends. It's a picture of Joe Kessel, your father-in-law. Yep. And then surrounding the circle on his Facebook page is a rainbow flag.
Oh,
and it
boy.
Says Pride 2022. Does this sound like your father-in-law? Is he newly gay?
I mean, you know, I know people probably come out on milestones. It was his birthday. You know, he probably wouldn't have, he might not have any friends with his new account. I don't know his new life. No, but I do not believe that is him. Not that there's anything wrong with it, I'm sure, but he would, he's my father-in-law. That's like the title of a sitcom. My father-in-law is gay. Or no, my father-in-law's
come
out of the closet.
I'm going backwards here. He opened his account in mid-November. The first picture is just him. And then the second picture is the exact same picture of him, but it's a cartoon of a white person and a black person shaking hands underneath his face. And then...
Is that a racist cartoon? Or no?
No. I think it's like a unity. It has a heart where they would be shaking hands. It's like a heart. There's a heart there. A cartoon heart. And then that one didn't seem to trick enough people. So the next one is a heart and then the black and the white person shaking hands. And then a globe... seeming like an like he's like a pro environment guy, you know?
I mean, I'm going to tell him that you normally you go after these, when you've been hacked, right?
Yeah.
But you know, he's like the kind of, I think I could say this. I think Randy would be a lot. He's like your kind of classic, like boomer, you know, parent who likes to send out these like inappropriate jokes that they've heard and pass them along to people.
Sure.
I don't know that. And cause he's just totally out of the bubble. Doesn't know that could get him in trouble down the road. So
yeah,
if
the guy
he ever
who doesn't know, doesn't know cancel culture exists.
He does no idea. So if he ever gets canceled from, you know, whatever, I would say he could then claim his real account is a fake and just fall into this Pride account as his real account.
Well, it's pretty good. So anyway, I responded, I sussed out this maybe wasn't, the real Joe Kessel.
Yeah.
And so I responded. The guy says, "Hi, Turner." And I say, "Hi, this is a stolen account. I've reported you. Joe Kessel is my friend and you are not him."
Whoa. It's and the like, guy responded, "I knew Jack Kennedy." Oh, he responded?
And the guy responded. He goes, "It's nice to hear from you. My regards to everyone, and you guys should stay blessed. Have you heard anything about the DHHS?" Now, I don't know what that is, but is
the Department of Health and Human Services?
Well, I was wondering if that's the organization that's, you know, surrounding the Barclays Center in support of Kyrie Irving.
That's the Black Israelites.
Yeah, is that the Black Israelites?
Did you see them in person? Did they walk by your apartment?
I didn't see
them.
They did a
march, and they had a really catchy, you know, anti-Semites have the catchiest lyrics always.
Yeah, so what was their song?
So they were just marching. I'm not catchy. I can't remember. It was something like "Attention, Jacob. We're the real Jews," but it rhymed. They were like saying something about the people of Jacob. It was some sort of like rhyme about how we're frauds and they're
"Attention,
the real Jews.
Jacob. You know who? Knock, knock. You know who? Yeah, it's us, the real Jew," or something like that.
Is that? Yeah, bam! Look at that.
Something like that.
Yeah, but they did it all in unison. They got the choreography down. There was
hundreds of them. Right. Yeah. Marching in kind of goose stepping, if you will.
It was very "Jews Will Not Replace Us" of in the Black version.
It was the "Jews Will Not Replace Us" of Black people. Yeah. Surrounding the Barclays Center, our basketball stadium here in Brooklyn. It was a little odd. And then this guy for the Boston Celtics retweeted it and was like, "Yeah, here we go. We're back." Something like that.
Yeah. And so did Isaiah Thomas. He said something weird about it. But
which one?
The older one, not yours.
Oh, Isaiah. No, old Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to deflect from all of his other sketchy stuff. So
the guy in the Celtics, what's his name? Jaylen Brown. He said, "Brown. Yeah, here we go. This is us. We're back, baby." And then like 6 hours later, he went, whoa, "I'm sorry. I thought that was a black frat."
Yeah, he actually sent a picture. It was actually pretty good. When you have a publicist, that's why you have a good publicist. And because they could come up with a story. And they can, that's like great publicists because they found pictures. I mean, this maybe is even the truth. I kind of believe, because it's like, it seems ridiculous that like hundreds of people from some black fraternity is marching to the Barclays Center.
But they
do all wear purple. It is the color. So
how great would it have been if Trump, after he said "good people on both sides," he went, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was Sigma Chi."
That was my old frat brothers.
I thought that was my frat. I didn't know those were Nazis.
Yeah. That's the Trump. It's good to teach Jaylen Brown teaching Trump a thing or two. But anyway, so yeah, I'm going to see my father-in-law tomorrow. So I will pass along the good work you've done if he's not listening.
Well, ask him if he's heard anything about the DHHS. These guys want to know.
So, they want him in.
Yeah, they want him in the DHHS. Kaplan, moving on.
Yeah. Did you want to hear about, since we're on Thanksgiving, I had a big job yesterday. Okay, so I couldn't pod yesterday. I was
what's the job?
I got my Keller Williams, my real estate agency. We did this thing called the Basket Brigade, where we signed up. We raised like over $10,000 to feed families who don't have enough, you know, don't have food for, you know, Thanksgiving, all that food that we were just slandering. All that. Some people don't have turkeys.
Turkey. You mean?
Yeah. We should have bought them something better, really. But
so you were passing out turkeys.
We were passing out turkeys and sides to families in need in Queens.
Real estate company was doing this.
Yeah. And you know, there was a sign up sheet. There was plenty of people. So I kind of felt like I had to sign up because, you know, people there know I'm not really that busy. I'm not making deals left and right.
Oh, yeah. Your numbers aren't high enough. So you got
my numbers aren't high enough to have an excuse that I was working that day.
Yeah. It's like in high school when the teacher goes, you take a test. And at the very end of the test, the teacher goes, "You know, if anybody feels like they didn't do well on this test.
Yeah.
This weekend, you for extra credit, you could come feed the homeless," and you go, I better be there because I just got to
feed this homeless. I better do that car wash or whatever for charity or whatever I got to do. Yeah. So that was me. I was there.
Finding other ways to contribute.
Of course, in true fashion, they were there at like 7 a.m. to start unloading the trucks. And they specifically said, anybody who's strong, come at 7 a.m. This is like, we need the strong. There's another episode, but they do like in Queens, they're not always as PC. So they literally said strong men. They didn't even say like I could have been a strong woman, but they said strong people come unload the trucks. I said 7 a.m. is a little early for me.
Yeah.
But I whistled in around 9:30, 10.
I mean, I was going to say 7 a.m. You had a heart attack. You got to tell them I had a heart attack. I had a heart attack.
Exactly. So but anyway, it was a great experience, except I said to the guy running it, because I thought my most useful thing is, you know, what am I good at? I'm like good. I got a car. I can get from. I've been a pizza delivery guy. I can get from point A to point B.
You've done it all.
You know, some people don't want to do that because some of these areas are a little sketchy. I think if I get mugs, it's good for the pod.
It's good for the pod. There might be some insurance attached to it.
Exactly.
Put your kids through college. And also, you don't care about COVID. That's another good thing about you. COVID positive. Who cares?
I mean, nobody in Queens, these places, cares about COVID. Jesus. Oh, that's okay.
You guys are delivering, because I've always said that real estate agents are the real crack dealers in America. And this lines up with it directly. Have anyone seen the great movie New Jack City, the Spike Lee joint? They're going on the crack dealers on Thanksgiving and Christmas. They pass out turkeys to everybody in the neighborhood, basically to say, yes, we sell crack. Yes, we kill people all around here. But look, we're giving you a turkey. So aren't we good?
Exactly
people?
The same thing.
And now that's what you, the real estate company's doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because the crack dealers are good business people. They understand
you got to ingratiate yourself to the community, to the neighborhood.
And it comes back to you. Right. So you do good things. You know, it's classic thing. They're like last week, they're like, you know, call up people, you know, try to get people to donate. Because it's a good thing,
donate.
But it's also like a good way to just connect to people. Right. It's like a networking thing.
It's all network. Wait, donate. What are people donating for?
There was to raise money to pay for all the turkeys. We were donating money for it. No, we were, but you could also get other people to pay for it too. I mean, like
only are you guys the crack dealers, but this is also a money laundering thing.
No, we raised over $10,000, but I'm saying anybody else could have contributed. It was open to the public too. Was it just
I thought the whole point was the company paid. Like the crack dealers didn't do a GoFundMe to give out turkey on Thanksgiving. They used their own money.
The crack dealers aren't 1099 employees.
But they give their own money out of the goodness of their heart.
I gave money. I gave $50, which feeds a family for four.
You shouldn't have to give anything. The company should be giving the money, is what I'm saying. Well, you're no bad. Like, I thought you were. The crack dealers are in a better position.
Well, the company ordered a pizza for us. They ordered me. I had two slices.
That doesn't do anything for the homeless. You ate a pizza? What do they care? If I'm homeless, I didn't get anything, but at least Kaplan ate a pizza.
First of all, the homeless, I mean, some of these people, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it's pretty easy to con an organization out of. Because some of them were picking up and I was loading their cars up. That's where I was useful. I was the guy, I'm good with the loading the cars up. But some of their cars were kind of nicer than mine. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
But anyway, so then my point of the story is I was going to do deliveries. That was the whole point. And then the guy running the thing.
Turkey delivery guy.
He said, he looked at his list. He was going to give me all these things. And he looked at the list and he said, so how's your Spanish? I said, Spanish? Poquito? Que lastima? What do you got?
I can tell you, as someone who went to El Salvador with you, you speak shockingly less than zero Spanish. I just thought people born in America, and you kind of grow up by watching TV commercials. You look at Taco Bell menus. At bare minimum, you know basic
Taco
level
Bell
Spanish.
Menus are not in Spanish. Have you read a Taco Bell menu?
Taco is Spanish.
I mean,
like bare minimum, you know, yo quiero Taco Bell.
Chicas faciles.
Yeah, you knew nothing when we were in El Salvador. It was surprising how little you have to go out of your way to know that to be born in America.
I grew up in Pennsylvania, Dutch country. People speak German. They don't speak
and know
Spanish.
That little Spanish. It almost felt racist. So anyway, no. So he asked you if you knew Spanish.
Well, he asked me if I knew Spanish. I said no. He said I got to find because you did have to go in twos. They didn't want people going in ones. So like essentially back up if you're going to the sketchy neighborhood in case like we get jumped. So I think there was no Spanish speaking agents of like they were all out. So he's just like, don't worry. Basically, he's like, thanks, but no thanks. Like I did a few deliveries. I packed up some cars.
Again, the crack dealers.
I got two
Spanish
slices of pizza,
agents.
But I basically got relieved of my duties because I don't speak Spanish. So
how long were you even out for doing this?
I was there for about, you know, I don't know, 6 hours, but I mean, I only did like two deliveries. You know, I loaded up some cars. I loaded up.
What did you do the rest? Just hang out?
I saved a woman's life, actually. That's what I did. I don't
Whoa.
Even.
This story just took a left turn. How'd you save
a life? No, because they had all this. They didn't want to leave too much stuff.
I like how you forgot this part.
I forgot this because I didn't get credit for it. And I mean, unless anyone listens from the office, listens to this podcast, I'll never get credit for it because there's no witnesses. But there was this woman who was like in charge of the inventory. And there was like all these boxes, like these, the turkeys were downstairs and like they were in this frozen, like, you know, there was these giant butterball turkeys in these crates. But then the other stuff was all, that's what all we did, all the packing. They were in these like big boxes of all, you know, celery and potatoes and all the, I don't know, everything you need, all the vegetables, everything. And it was heavy though. And they were piled up high. And this woman came out and she starts doing inventory. And I was like standing there. Like, it was like, it reminded me of like when I used to have jobs at like Arby's, when I would unload the like meat locker in the morning, I'd get there early on a Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I'd always like just try to like not do anything, but just like be, you know, like I didn't really want to do anything, but like I had to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like I was always good at like sort of not doing anything.
You're there in body, but not in mind or spirit.
Yeah. When I was on the set of my internship for my film production company, I got away with it for weeks until like one guy noticed and like made some comment. He's like, oh, Kaplan, you're saving all your muscles for the beer at night in the gym, right? You can't lift anything. So he was an anti-Semite. We know that. But I'm just sitting there kind of like hanging out, like I want to do something, but I don't really want to do something. And I'm standing by the boxes and I'm on my phone, probably answering texts in our group text thread about something stupid at the world. I don't even know what. And I played basketball growing up. And what do they teach you in basketball? You play basketball, the peripheral vision, right? You got to see a ball, man, basket. You got to see like out of the corner of your eye, basically. So I'm looking straight ahead on my phone and at the corner of the eye, I just see the entire thing of boxes tumbling. And I see the woman's like leaning over, like she would have been like decked by this giant thing. And I just like jumped in front of it and knocked it over. It was really heroic work by me. And I just don't think she even realized that it nearly killed her, because she didn't even say thank you, really. She just was like, whoa, let's start picking everything up. And I was like, I didn't really get the thank you I was hoping for. But I think she didn't realize they were all about to crash into her. the way to do a good deed is to not flaunt it at the moment, but then go on a podcast and talk all about it. So
that is it, Kaplan. And I think let's end it there. That's the podcast. We'll be back for all of our Patreon subscribers. We'll do one more this week over on patreon.com/lostinamerica for the Lost in America listeners. We will be back next week to our regularly scheduled program with around the world comedians from around the world every week telling us about the news going on in their country, being our embedded reporters around the world. Kaplan, that is it. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. And when you're at the house and you've had the turkeys and people are trying to put the leftovers in on you, they're trying to give you the Tupperware.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to take a shit. You know what you do? Get lost.
You get lost.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.